Okay, make sure you're in fellowship as we continue here on our analysis. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7, looking at the principle of the mystery of lawlessness that is already at work in regards to this dispensation. We are in point A here, looking at the different uses of the term mystery as it applies to Scripture, indicating that it can refer to doctrine in general, reflecting upon the fact that doctrine remains hidden from those who are negative and revealed to those who are seekers of God and positive to Bible doctrine. The church age is related to being a mystery, and that has been hidden throughout the preceding ages, the age of Israel, age of Gentiles preceding that, and not manifested clearly until the church age itself truly came into function through the spiritual gifts of communication at that point in time, and then through the penning of the books of the New Testament that we have recorded for us for today. The person of Jesus Christ, point A, some point C, page 24, that we saw to be a mystery as it reflects upon all that he has provided in regards to salvation for mankind. To know Bible doctrine is to know Christ. And obviously, doctrine itself remains a mystery to those who are negative. And so is the person of Christ hidden and concealed in regards to their understanding. The mystery of the importance of Bible doctrine, of keeping the faith, maintaining it, the importance of establishing priority of NPR in one's life, all that revolves around Bible class and the application of the doctrine otherwise. The rapture of the church, point E, is referred to as being a mystery. It is a situation, an event that is unique to us as a dispensation, that all believers of the church, regardless of what they did with doctrine, apart from in addition to salvation, phase one faith, all believers will receive a resurrection body at the rapture. F, where we left off, the identification of the seven stars equaling pastor teachers or communicators of the seven churches of Asia Minor are referred to as a mystery. Revelation 1:20. In regards to the seven stars, as for the mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, Christ speaking to John, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the messengers, the correct translation. Angelos, his primary meaning, means messenger, even though it can also be translated angels. There are the messengers of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. So you have the stars with the lampstand reflecting upon the pastor teachers, the communicators of each of the local churches. And he reveals, obviously, Christ does, that mystery in regards to the revelation. G, the tribulation leading to the promised kingdom. Revelation 10:7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, then the mystery of God is finished. The final judgment and the period of tribulation initiating the day of the Lord, as he proclaimed to his servants, to prophets. That aspect of the history of mankind obviously remains a big mystery to the negative world in mass, as they will fall for lies rather than the truth of doctrine. H, the identification of the great whore, great harlot of Revelation 17. We have two Babylons, two harlots presented in the book of Revelation, verse chapter 17 and chapter 18. Chapter 17 is religious Babylon. Chapter 18 is the political economic Babylon. And the harlot of Revelation 17 is said to be a mystery. Verse 5, and upon her forehead a name was written, a mystery, Babylon the Great. It's no longer a mystery to us. We have figured out and know who is this great whore spiritually. This religious Babylon, that is Roman Catholic Church, the mother of harlots, all other spiritual abominations, flying the Christian banner. Generally, you can find some aspect attached to erroneous teaching of Catholicism, like altars in churches, things of that nature. And of the abominations of the earth. Also, verse 7, and the angel said to me, why do you wonder? I shall tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has seven heads and the 10 horns. That she rides upon in regards to the European basis and foundation of existence. So she's referred to as a mystery. All right, point 9. Coming back to our verse here. In our verse, the mystery is, quote, of the lawlessness. Of the lawlessness. Hey, onomia. End quote, that looks to a secret conspiracy to rule the world in lawlessness that will find its pinnacle in the Antichrist. The lawless aspect of this mystery reflects upon the antinomian nature, rebelling against the divine restraints of God upon the world as a peoples and as nations, and against God Himself. And all this comes to a head, finds its peak of expression in the person of the Antichrist, who will take this mystery to its ultimate conclusion. In fact, he is the representation of the conclusion, which is the fulfillment of the plan of Satan in this regard. So 10, the mystery of lawlessness here is obviously antithetical, opposite of, to the mystery of godliness. To the mystery of godliness in 1 Timothy 3:16, and refers to the secret and hidden activity of the rebellion against God and laws of divine establishment. The mystery of godliness of 1 Timothy 3:16. In regards to the person of Jesus Christ and what he represents in regards to the plan of salvation, and we see it being antithetical, as the Antichrist is obviously the counterfeit opposition to the Christ, the Messiah. By the common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. The godliness, mystery of godliness, of being in the person of Christ. He, that's the Son of God as deity, the second member of the Godhead, who was revealed in the flesh, looking at the hypostatic union, when the second member of the Godhead condescended, left his position of authority and power as God to come into union with true humanity in the person of the historical person of Jesus. Was vindicated by the Spirit, he was justified. As he was sponsored and validated in regards to the truth of doctrine, all that he was and represented, beheld by angels, proclaimed among the nations, both in time as well as eternity. They knew who he was. His person's name is represented in regards to the entire world, believed on in the world, taken up in glory as validation in regards to his resurrection. So our phrase mystery of lawlessness is seen antithetical to the mystery of godliness, which represents the person of Jesus Christ, which plus R is made available to men. And on that end, it looks at that which is hidden or esoteric, secret, clandestine, in regards to the plan of Satan as it impacts the world. And that, more specifically, as it is designed to tear down the divine institutions. While nationalism, obviously, is usually that brought out, that is the, if you will, last good hold and great hold in regards to ensuring the destruction of the other laws of divine laws of establishment, volition, right man, right woman, family, nationalism. All of this is designed to control the volition of people. That's the ultimate attack, to render people not being able to make a choice for themselves in regards to life in and of itself, etc. So 11, again, it is not something incomprehensible, but something hidden. 12, here it does not refer to SCA antinomianism in general, being lawless. That's what antinomian is, to be lawless. But refers to an organized, secretive activity largely hidden from the masses. The masses are simply feel the repercussions of it. And most, even those who are actively supporting this satanic system, are simply dupes being utilized, puppets being utilized for the ultimate cause. So here, lawlessness, as we might consider that in regards to representing sin nature activity in general, is not the emphasis here. It looks at an organized agenda that is largely behind the scene in regards to what's going on in the world. 13, it precedes the appearance of the rebel, the Antichrist. It comes before it as a present operation in this dispensation, as reflected in the words, is already at work, eide in ergo in the Greek. Again, complementing the fact that the apostasy is in place and prevalent in our time and before the appearance of the Antichrist. And here Paul sets even more strict parameters in regards to this operation. As he says, it's already at work. That denotes even at this early stage, the church age, this mystery of lawlessness was operational. So 14, the language draws attention, if we can see if we can identify it more specifically here. The language draws attention to the, quote, deep things of Satan, end quote, that we saw in Revelation 2:24. This looks at in-depth study and examination of Satan himself. Hence, a satanic occult designed to bring about and utilize what force is perceived from knowing this information. And we see, if you remember going back to the seven churches, this period of time coincides with the medieval people period of human history, which is basically dominated by Roman Catholicism in the world of Christianity. And they are known to have sects that are associated in esoteric, secretive agendas of world domination. And Jesus brings out, in regards to this activity, in verse 24, "But I say to you, the rest who are in Thyatira, who do not hold to this teaching," in regards to Roman Catholicism in general, "and who otherwise have not known the deep things of Satan," as they call them, "I place no other burden on you." So the mystery of lawlessness, obviously being hidden, secretive, stirs our thinking in regards to the deep things of Satan, the, if you will, guts of his plan, as it pertains to influencing the world towards the ultimate goal of this worldwide apostasy in the last days that is then blossoms into the revelation of the Antichrist taking the agenda to its ultimate conclusion. So the language here of this mystery of lawlessness is already at work. We see language that harmonizes with that, of things going on in the early church. Now the reality is, the reality of Revelation is that while it represents the period of medieval time, it also represents an actual church that existed at the point in time of writing. So the reality is that the deep things of Satan, as they call them, was actually occurring and in process in the early church. That was one of the kind of, if you will, real challenges in regard to going to Revelation, and especially through these seven churches, is recognizing you're dealing with seven literal churches that exist at that time that represent seven periods of the church age. See. So the conclusion is that we can draw from all this is that this mystery of lawlessness upon Satan's defeat in regards to the person of Jesus Christ at the first advent, he immediately went into high gear to then establish the next aspect of his plan, and that was to bring about the person of Antichrist. He did not hesitate. He obviously utilizing the empire of Rome against Christians to begin with in severe persecution. So, the fact that it's already at work, we have here even Paul proclaiming that to the Thessalonians, who his writings predated John's writing in Revelation some almost 40 years, 55 to 93 or somewhere around there. So early on, The mystery of lawlessness is at work. And it's obviously a continuation, as you look at history overall, satanic conspiracy throughout history. But we still see with the aspect of the introduction of the restrainer in regards to the church age, taking on a special impetus in a time in history of which we are a part of dispensationally. So, 15, it looks to occult activity that has been going on in the church age, pushed by those members of the synagogue of Satan, referred to in Revelation 2:9, seen still operative in Revelation 3:9. The deep things of Satan, the synagogue of Satan. Again, another aspect of deciphering and interpreting the book of Revelation to the seven churches. And we see reference made to an actual worship of Satan. That's the force behind the phrase synagogue of Satan. That is a place of worship. See, a synagogue. The Jews would understand that clearly. And we see mention of that, remember, and getting back, in Revelation 2:9, in the second church, which brings us into the period immediately post-apostolic, around 2nd century, etc., in that regards. And this severe persecution that's going on in regards to the church, it's stepped up by Rome, etc., when the period where Rome was known to go after Christians, feed them to the lions, gladiators, and all these other things, passing laws, trying to outlaw Christianity, things of this nature. And to the church at Smyrna, which represents this period, this is a reflection upon these believers, in part, that endure. And Jesus tells them in verse 9, I know your tribulation and your poverty, in parentheses, but you are rich. The tribulation and poverty looks at their physical circumstances, their physical assets, which based on civil persecution, persecution by the government, it's hard to have a job, hard to have money, etc. But the fact that they are rich reflects upon the positive volition that is found during this period of the church universal. And spiritually, they have wealth unbelievable, that in part due to the fact that they are enduring this persecution, just like we see in regards to the church of Thessalonica. That is an exceptional, over and beyond the norm, application of doctrine in the face of outright hostility. It's one thing living a Christian life when everything's going fine. First time one little thing gets out of line that you don't like, bingo, there goes anger or whatever. Well, thank God, we don't have to live and endure under a regime that is as hostile as these believers did and other believers throughout history. At least, not yet. But anyway, he goes on, but you are rich, verse 9, and the blasphemy, this is the lie spread in regards to the Christian faith, Bible doctrine, by those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. These are imitators of mainline Judaism. The reality is they are actual Satan worshipers. They appeal to the dark things of the occult in regards to their perceptions and agendas, etc. And they remain, if you will, underground. And we see their mention early on in the church in Revelation 2:9. Then they come up again in Revelation 3:9. This is during the period of the Philadelphian church, which looks towards the latter end of the church age dispensation. Probably during the period of colonialism, etc. And this period of church, which is fairly short, we see in harmony with the church of Thyatira that the church universal is seen pretty much okay with God. They're adjusted. The emphasis at Thyatira is the fact that they, or Smyrna, excuse me, at Smyrna, the fact that they were enduring persecution as evidence of their holding to the faith. Here is just general adjustment overall. And it's the only two churches that, in the message by Christ, that there is no fault found with them, these periods. And we see in this period the mention of the synagogue of Satan again. So this tells us that the synagogue of Satan exists throughout the church age. It's a part of our dispensation, a part of the world around us. They have influence. It had been suggested, again, going back, it's been a while, it had been suggested that possibly the synagogue of Satan is the Muslim faith. You know, people like to come up with their speculation. Well, again, that can't be right because the Muslim religion wasn't around at the beginning of the church. See, doctrine will disprove anything that's erroneous if you let it. Otherwise. But anyway, for all intents and purposes, for ourselves, he tells us in 3:9, "Behold, I will cause those of the synagogue of Satan," to the message of Philadelphia, "who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them to come and bow down at your feet and to know that I have loved you." So, this occultic activity that has a brand of Judaism attached to it obviously fits in within the whole scheme of the mystery of lawlessness, the deep things of Satan in this regards. So it's a cult activity, point 15 again, that has been ongoing in the church age, pushed by those members of the synagogue of Satan, referred to in Revelation 2:9, still operative in Revelation 3:9. Alright, so in addition to that, 16, it is a conspiracy. It is a conspiracy that finds its roots in the satanic ambition of Isaiah 14:13-14. The five I wills of Satan. Satan is obviously the predominant force behind all of this. The Antichrist is simply a dupe in and of itself. Just a puppet that Satan uses to try to reach his own goal. We know that, as we will see here in chapter 2, in verse 9, that is the one, the Antichrist, whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan. See, it's in harmony with that. Satan himself is the one pulling the strings in regards to all this. So, obviously, we note the deep things of Satan. Satan's ultimate ambition in regards to God's plan for His higher creation. Isaiah, again, 14. His manifesto, Satan's manifesto, his decrees, denoting him seeking to take his volition and usurp God's sovereign will. That his volition is supreme. His will is supreme. That's one thing that the manifestos, his five I wills, bring out. Satan believes his will is supreme. See, it's better than God's. That's the way most people operate. My will is better than God's. Even though God says, don't do this, don't that. But anyway, enough sarcasm there. Verse 13, but you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. That means to take God's place and authority. I will raise my throne above the stars of God, rule the angelic host. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north, establish his throne on planet earth. The very thing that we are dealing with in regards to the Antichrist. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, ruling over the planet. Essentially, I will make myself like the Most High. The Antichrist proclaims he is God. See? In that respect. So, that's thrown into the mix of this lawlessness, mystery of lawlessness. So, you have the deep things of Satan, the synagogue of Satan, Satan's five I wills, and this force is already operating, functioning at the time of the writing of 2 Thessalonians, as it is already at work. So 17, now to be effective, it must find willing and driven people that would make Lucifer their God, apart from any surrogate, proxy, or secondary religious system. In other words, it's not a system, a religious system, such as being a witch or something of that nature. The astrological type of approaches in regards to Satan. This is a system that directly seeks contact with Satan, demons, all the time. That's all they want. There's no secondary aspect of work. It's like the Anton LaVey's Satanic Bible type of approach. Worship Satan and nobody else. See, you don't believe in anything else. All this other stuff is goofball. Well, that's exactly what Thessalonians is going to say. That's what Satan says. Because he's out to, the Antichrist is out to do away with all other religions. See, but going straight to the heart of evil. In order for it to find its way into the world and to become operative, it obviously must have the physical entities that are willing to carry out these things, to get in touch with Satan, be in touch with him, worship him, and seek to promote his agenda over all other things. So 18, by nature, it is secretive, clandestine, subversive, occultic, it undermines, conspiratorial, and as anti-God as Satan himself. Doctor says this, these people say it's hockey. No, this is what you do. These people hate the truth of doctrine. They don't like the direction that it's going. They don't like the way people think that attach themselves to it. These are people that wield great power, wealth over others, industries, and they have maximum influence on the world because of their positions, because of their influence. The media, the great merchants, things of this nature, corporations, people that are tied into this. And again, not everybody is tied into it in this direct fashion that we're dealing with here. But there are a certain number of people that are. And they're the ones that are setting the agendas, calling, if you will, the shots, ultimately, over all of this. And they don't like to be spied upon, known about. I doubt they had the NSA problem we do. Their meetings are behind closed doors, and their front often comes with a sense of normalcy, as other negative idiots of this world will attach themselves to their agenda in whatever form or fashion, the many spokes that it may extend out with, because of the promise of privilege and power and wealth. See? And it is anti-God, anti-doctrine. It is out to attack the divine institutions, including volition itself, to control you, to not let you make your choices in life, as our country otherwise was established, to provide this type of freedom in thinking, religion, etc. But even in that realm, Satan is actively engaged in establishing his agenda. So 19 is arcane or esoteric teachings, mysterious teachings, synonyms, seek to turn upside down the divine and human order of things to create chaos. They create chaos so that they can then gain control. How people are able to create chaos finds a lot of momentum in regards to the principle of fear, intimidation, things of this nature. We truly live in an unbelievable, interesting time in regards to the plan of God. If you are astute to it, if you know the doctrine and recognize what's going on around you and not be taken in regards to the lies, the propaganda that the deep things of Satan are instrumental in regards to pushing on the human race. And all it is seeking to undo the fetters of divine restraints in regards to mankind, to put it in a simplistic, general summation. You don't need to be a male and a female to be married. You don't need to be a parent to control your child. The government will do that for you. Yeah. All these things. We don't need nationalism. So 20, it would eliminate all the divine institutions under the umbrella of an absolute world dictatorship. 21 is behind the current push for a new world order. The government, that instrumental behind the organization and implementation of the United Nations and all our, and other organizations, as we know, that are part of that circle. So, 22, as noted in the exegesis of Revelation 2 and 3, the primary organization providing the impetus to the lawlessness is known today as the Masonic Order, the Masons, with its facets of influence politically and economically. It is the one organization that fits like a glove. They imitate temple worship in regards to their rituals and rites. It's unbelievable in regards to those who are duped in thinking that this is a good organization. Many believers have belonged to them and have become antagonistic against doctrine taught against them. things of this nature. But it is truly evil. If you read any of the background in regards to the Masonic Order, which is part of the luminaries that began back early on and were functioning in the early church. And they ended up expressing themselves through the Templar's Knight and things of, and sects of this nature out of Roman Catholicism, and now we have what's called the Masons. And isn't it amazing the influence and the input they had in regards to the very advancement and founding of our own nation? Understand, people can be believers. They can attach themselves to certain doctrines and recognize certain governing principles, but still be completely and totally screwed up spiritually. And I've had that thrown at me in regards to, well, the Masons, the synagogue, say, well, what about our founding fathers? Many of them were Masons. Yeah, they're idiots. And now you see how part of the evil was infiltrated in regards to our own nation. So you see this stuff, and all of a sudden it becomes clear why we are like we are. Because eventually it had its impact, its proposed impact in that regards. There is not another organization that better fits an identification in regards to the synagogue of Satan. And we went through that in the book of Revelation as I outlined and documented the history behind it. If you're part of the Masonic Order, those who have the highest degrees of existence, they're the ones, and they're the only ones, that truly know what the Masons stand for. And we've had over time some of those who have repented, pulled out of there, and have exposed some of it. But they still remain current today. They don't like to be in the news. They'll come out and have their own programs to defend themselves, things of this nature. But they are, if you think they're a Christian organization, well, then you need to ask them what they're doing with the Quran in their temple. Anyway, 21 is behind the push, current push for a new world order government, and the identification is the Masonic Order. Repeated my point twice there. 24, it uses nice, personable people to advance its objectives. These aren't people who are going to come out with horns on their heads and tails hanging behind them. People that are charismatic, have an appeal, nice, etc. Twenty-five. It is behind the UN and its European counterpart. Twenty-six. Because people refuse to see this, they easily become its willing dupes. They don't investigate truly. Well, what does Masons really stand for? The ultimate. Yeah. Well, you'll learn that as you go along. Now, you really want to join a club like that? It could be a bunch of sodomites, as far as you know, and this is your ultimate initiation. Yeah, I mean, I'm on a roll now. I mean, really. But this is how blind people are that are negative. They make the most stupid decisions in life. Sometimes. Not all the time. See? They don't think things out. We should always think things out, especially with doctrine. And to become involved in something that you don't know what the ultimate outcome is going to be in regards to becoming a member of an organization, it's just stupid. You should want to know everything about that organization. then make your decision. But they hide it. They hide it from their initiatives. See? And others who are not willing to be objective and look at them for what they are, you know, they fall for their lying easily, and many carry out their very agenda in that regard. I want to become a member because it helps me get a job. They help each other, whatever. Excuse me. Whatever. 27, and seeing the word lawlessness, it caters to unbridled ST activity. While the lawlessness here is an organized sect of people, the fact that it is lawlessness, it is lawless, reflects that they operate with unbridled ST activity under human viewpoint. See? And that means what they do essentially is replace, in parentheses here, moral absolutes are replaced by moral relativism. That is what is a great push upon societies today with the scientific backing of the principle of evolution, is to remove any moral absolutism as sponsored through the Bible. That this is wrong, this is wrong, this is right. And rather, what they do when they remove it is saying, we'll make that decision. We as men, rather than let God make that decision. See? And hence, you have the push for, well, as long as they're married, it doesn't make any difference whether they are the same sex. As long as they're married. See? Or we need to save the world through whatever means they want to see it as. Many of these people are very evil. Some of the wealthiest, you would believe the kind of depth of ST activity they engage in. There's movies that try to reflect that. 28, it is supported by the most powerful and wealthy of the Western world, also known as the great merchants in Revelation 18:23, and the rich of James 1:5-1 and following. And our time's up, so we'll have some more fun with this Tuesday. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to enlighten us these things. In Jesus' name, amen.